Welcome back to Cairo Nights. You know, Matt, I got to tell you, when my daughter, who's a bartender here in town, saw the story about the bars being open later, even all night, rolled her eyes with this dead look in her eyes. Like, no. That was interesting, Lisa's story about how bar employees worry about their safety for bars being open. And it's being talked about. It's not being even proposed yet. So there's just opening conversations. Bars being open till 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, all night long. The dangers, I think, are people being overserved. But those are out there now at midnight. Those same people are you know, it's no more dangerous to have somebody come in trying to get that one more drink than they need at midnight as it is 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. That's still on the bartender to be responsible distributor of alcohol. And my kid gets home at 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how 5 is any more dangerous than 3, or once the sun comes up at 6 is any more dangerous than 3 a.m. I don't know that the safety issues are going to be the factor. I think it's all going to come down to money, as it always does. And I'm going to predict right here that bars in Seattle will stay open later, if not all night long, to some degree. I really believe that's going to happen. And The Cure was playing there. Speaking of, it's always about the money. Robert Smith said he is sickened by Ticketmaster's fees as tickets for The Cure's U.S. tour go on sale. Now, my younger daughter was very, very fortunate this last December. I think I mentioned this on the air, that my sister, my younger sister, who's a mother herself and a full-grown professional through college, still carrying way too much student debt, by the way, scored tickets to see The Cure, part of their one of their first tours in a long time. I think it's been 20-some years since they've toured. But scored tickets in London at Wembley Stadium to see The Cure, and took my niece, my sister, took her daughter, and took my daughter as well as a high school graduation present, took my kid to see The Cure in London at Wembley. What a life, once in a lifetime experience. What a great memory my kids got from doing this show. And it turns out, what a bargain. The prices for The Cure in America with Ticketmaster's fees and with a dynamic pricing on the shows, because the band has very little control over what pricing structures and what pricing ticket distribution systems are used. That's put together by Ticketmaster and Live Nation, one of the reasons they've been in front of the congressional hearings on monopolies in their industry. Now, the band does have the ability to set a ceiling for what their tickets can sell for. A lot of artists didn't do that. Taylor Swift didn't do that. Springsteen didn't do that. And we saw how ridiculous it got. But it turns out that my sister's trip to London with airfare, hotel, per person, cost less than the tickets for The Cure are going for right now in America with Ticketmaster's pricing structure and fees. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how expensive tickets have gotten. And you know, The Cure is a internationally renowned, iconic band of their era and their genre. And frontman Robert Smith, he's carries some weight. So when he says that, you know, a $20 ticket will each be subjected to an $11.65 service charge, a $10 facility charge, and an overall order processing fee of $5.50, that's more than 65% of the cost of a ticket for a show is in fees, facility charges, processing, service fees. I mean, more than half the cost of your ticket is in fees. And it's not like that's a flat fee for a service charge, a handling charge, a facility charge. Those escalate as the cost of the ticket goes up as well. You know, what we used to be able to see shows for is a thing of the past. It feels like some days seeing shows is going to be a thing of the past.
Well, you got to be optimistic, Spike, and rely on all this amazing technology that we're developing and realize that in another generation, people won't even go to concerts. We'll just have AI create and perform music. Artistry will be dead.
Well, they got to have something. They got to have something to read from, right? They got to have something. They got to have a cure to scan.
Well,
and
I
analyze.
Guess you can hope at least rehashes good stuff. But as we saw with that AI trying to write that MASH script and the Nick Cave thing, oh boy.
Yeah, like the Nick Cave song. Yeah, that's right.
So can you imagine a future, though, where all art, since, you know, people are going out less anyways, and, you know, in some countries they're barely even dating. So imagine a future where all of this is just computer generated, and you sit in your room and you listen to whatever it is, and there's no soul in it. That's where we're headed.
Well, I hope not, buddy. But it's one seek away from the Terminator. I think you're right about that. And using movies as a reference, how about Princess Leia? Remember the Help Me, Obi-Wan? Right? There have been shows featuring holograms. Wasn't it Will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas that was hologrammed in for a live performance? And
well,
that's not the only.
He likes to play around with stuff, so I think he would probably do it just for fun anyway.
Well, do you think hologram performances are going to be a thing in the future? I think they are.
Oh, well, they already have been. I mean, I always forget on this, but who was it where they brought back?
Was it Prince?
I don't know if it was Prince. Might have been Tupac.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it was. That seems vaguely familiar during my residue addled brain spinning over here and gunking up every time it tries.
So that's already a thing. Is the holographic?
Is it going to become? Is it going to real? Is it going to become a common thing? If say you're a fan. Let me ask you this hypothetically. Say you're a fan of the Doors. You are a Doors fanatic. You love everything about the Lizard King. You are a Jim Morrison disciple. He was the second coming. Would you pay to see a holographic projection of Jim Morrison?
No.
Okay.
Because the thing that made the Doors great was the reality of their time and the soul that they put into their recordings and the context and the production and all of those things and the lyrics that Jim Morrison actually wrote. It's not the Doors.
Well, AI could take every Jim Morrison insult, peeing off stage, whipping at his wahoo, whatever it might be, and incorporate all those things that are nothing but, he's drawn from nothing but Jim Morrison.
But it's still not him. There's no soul.
I am proud of you for clinging to that.
Although, I will say, Smith's fans are pretty hardcore. Johnny Marr is often. So if maybe we could replace Morrissey with a non-racist AI version of Morrissey, maybe so.
See, yeah, you know, I love The Who. And I mean, when I was a kid, I was a Who fanatic. I mean, I was. I had a green army jacket with the Who painted on the back, like on the cover of Quadrophenia, when I was 15. That's what I bombed around town in. You know, and if you tell me I could see a holographic concert that had Pete Townsend jumping up and down, windmilling like it's 1970, and Keith Moon behind the kit and John Entwistle on bass, I'd be interested in seeing it. I know it wouldn't. It wouldn't satisfy my soul, but it might be interesting. I might.
So it would be aesthetically pleasing on some level.
Yeah, if that was the only chance you had to see him, the only option was that.
See, and the other thing, too, is that every concert for a band that really performs full speed, 100%, every concert can be a unique experience.
Absolutely.
From the set list to the antics, the onstage banner, whatever you got.
Yep.
So I don't think you could ever improv it enough.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Randomness, but it wouldn't be improv like the artist would improv.
So if the Smiths were playing live for $700 a seat and a holographic non-racist version of the Smiths were playing for $50, what would you go see?
Well, if Johnny Marr and Andy Rourke were still playing, then yeah, I would do that because they're never going to get back together.
Right. Well, there you go.
Ever, ever getting back together. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, speaking of, you know, never getting back together, Pink Floyd, you know, we've been hearing the drama of Pink Floyd, right? And how Roger Waters just couldn't get along with the guys from Pink Floyd. That's why he left. That's why Pink Floyd went on the tour and play and record with a different bass player, with Gilmore and Wright and Mason when Wright was still alive. And Roger Waters went and did his own thing and does The Wall, Roger Waters presents The Wall, because he says he wrote it anyway. Roger Waters recently re-recorded all of Dark Side of the Moon without the other guys, because according to him, it was all him anyway. They were just basically session players, and he told them what to do. You remember recently how Springsteen sold his entire musical catalog for $500 million? Well, Pink Floyd was offered $500 million for their musical catalog so that it could be repackaged, redistributed, set up in various, best of series, various packaging, sold to car ads, all the way that money is, that music is monetized. $500 million was offered to Pink Floyd. And they couldn't put it together because the guys can't stand each other. Talk about they're never getting back together. It's funny. We talked about Roger Waters. A week or two ago, it was announced that his show was canceled in Germany because of anti-Semitism. Roger Waters was labeled by, I think it was the Frankfurt, Germany City Council, that he is one of the world's most notorious anti-Semites. And they spoke to, during a Roger Waters concert, they will use various iconic different pieces of Pink Floyd lore, like the floating pig from their Animals album will be used during Roger Waters' Wall concert. And they'll have various corporate logos painted on the pig, like Shell Oil or whatever it might be, the U.S. government, the United States flag. Also, the Star of David is on that pig. So Waters is labeled an anti-Semite.
See, but over in Germany, that's labeled as anti-Semitism. Over here, we label it cable news.
We do. Ooh, Stabby McStabberson there. So I saw an interview with Dan Rather and Roger Waters about this issue. And I have to say, for as much of a nugget I think Roger Waters can be sometime, as much of an egomaniac, his defense of his use of the Star of David, he said, look, I'm being labeled an anti-Semite. What I am is outspoken against the Israeli government and the way they choose to treat the people of their nation, the people of their region, the Palestinians in particular. He said, governments have to be willing and ready to be criticized in a free society about how they do business, how they choose to interact with the other fellow neighboring nations of the world. And he made a very compelling argument. This is not about the Jewish people. My use of the Star of David is that's the national symbol of Israel. It's on their flag. When I use the Star of David to make my political statements in my art, that's just me, exercising my free will, and it's not anti-Semitism. It's anti-Israeli government.
But here's the problem with that. He didn't put up a picture of Benjamin Netanyahu. He used a religious symbol. Now, imagine if you used a symbol that was sacred to Muslims or Catholics. But that's why I don't fully buy that. I mean, I understand genesis of his argument, but it's in very poor taste.
Well, I'll give you that. But that religious symbol is also on their flag. That's their international. That's their symbol. That's their government symbol as well.
But the Star of David and the flag of Israel what he is protesting is the Israeli government. The government is not the people.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what he is saying. That's what I'm saying.
But why use a symbol that's sacred to the broader population? Put up a picture of Netanyahu and light it on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's free speech.
How do you criticize the Israeli government without using the symbol of the Star of David? I think you found the answer. That's a good solution. And I'm sure he's
Sinead O'Connor on Saturday Night Live. Come on.
Rip up a picture of Netanyahu. Yeah. She was never invited back, by the way. And I remember this, of course, also was in to that level. Then there are laws in place to protect individuals from harmful exposure to free speech. I mean, for example, the fire in a theater analogy, right? There was a story this weekend from Ohio where a drag queen story hour in a public park was protested by armed extremists, Proud Boys, One Percenters, Oath Keepers, and full-on neo-Nazis with swastika flags and heavy armament. Screaming Sieg Heil at these little kids and their families.
Down in Centralia, there is a store now where white, a person affiliated with a white nationalist ideology. It's registered as a church, but basically they're gospel, quote-unquote, is white nationalism.
They registered as a church, that store?
Yes. Well, not the store, to
okay,
be clear.
Okay, oh, okay, okay.
The
okay.
Astrofuro congregation or whatever they assembly is a white nationalist group incorporated as a church. And they actually bought a church in Minnesota for their gatherings. And there is a store in Centralia, or at least there was last week.
Yes, where, it's still there.
Things of a white nationalist ideology, music of this ideology, books and material
right.
is being sold out of a storefront in Washington State to recruit people into a white nationalist movement.
So how do you, that's I appreciate you bringing it up. You showed me the story earlier in the week. I couldn't find a way to bring it to the air. This is the way. So how do you tell someone whose views you disagree with that they don't have the same rights you do?
Well, you got to wonder why their landlord isn't telling them.
That's a great point. They don't own the building.
Unless they own the building.
Well, then maybe they do own the building.
If there is a landlord. Also, if there's licensing requirements, are you required because of free speech to license a neo-Nazi business?
Great questions. Free speech is difficult. I mean, I hate to quote that leftist snowflake Aaron Sorkin, but from the movie The American President, where Michael Douglas played one of the greatest movie presidents of all time. Andrew Shepard, he said free speech is having to, you know, standing in the town square and yelling something that you truly believe in at the top of your lungs while watching someone else yelling something you despise with every fiber of your being at the top of their lungs. That's the price you pay for your ability to speak freely, is that you have to allow those with opposing viewpoints that make your blood boil. I'm paraphrasing. That make your blood boil to have the same access to free speech that you do. You know, I've got so much more to say about this, but let's keep it light. We're talking about music. We're talking about affordable concerts. Next thing you know, we're telling you about how, and hopefully the free market will decide that a white supremacist store in Centralia won't get any business and they'll go under. Hopefully, you know, we'll let the free market decide. But what happens if every white supremacist in Washington makes it their business to go, you know, frequent and use that business?
I'm just amazed the dude opened brick and mortar retail in 2023.
Nostalgia. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We'll be right back. That's one of the ways, Lisa, by the way, that I knew the concert wasn't over, as Bruce played 7 encores. My brother's like, he'd do a song, that's it. But nope, hasn't mentioned Food Bank yet. One more song, that's it. Nope, hasn't mentioned West Seattle Food Bank yet. And before the last song, which he plays an acoustic number, just had the band already walked off. He came back and did one more number acoustically, mentioned the West Seattle Food Bank. I'm like, this is the last song of the night. 19 grand? Well done, boss. Well done, Seattle. Well, we did that. Bruce just brought it to our attention. Well done. Everybody, I'm happy to say that I helped contribute to that. Oh, Matt.
Yes?
You know, I'm trying to find a story, and it's funny. When I'm looking for a story that I want to talk about, and I see so many other distraction stories that just, they're not clickbait, they're real, but they're designed to be sensational, and they're designed to get my attention and distract me, and they always do. I'm so gullible. I found out today that I was so punked last night when we mentioned Ben Shapiro and his ridiculous comment about, school nutrition doesn't help kids. Feeding kids at school has no real value. It's not expensive. I mean, all the ridiculous things he said, that I was so played last night. I remember when Rolling Stone put out the 200 greatest singers of all time and omitted Ann Wilson, put Barbara Streisand 24 points, 27 places behind Courtney Love. I went nuts. I lost a gear. I was being played, and I was being played by Ben Shapiro. I was informed today of how this works. It's called signal boosting. When guys like extremists, I don't want to even mention his name again, when writers like that for any cause make these outrageous comments so that their name gets mentioned in the news and their brand gets exposed and people click on to see what ridiculous thing they said and their click numbers go up.
It's crazy that you mentioned that because I was literally today, unrelated to work, thinking about this. It's sort of this loop where it has become a business model, and that's what it is, a business model. People, a lot of these people don't even really care about what they think. They're just saying things, but it's a business model where if you say something outrageous, people give you attention. Then there is a backlash to your ridiculous comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Then that solidifies your following because people rally around you and say, see, cancel culture. He's being harassed because he's a conservative or a liberal or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So people rally around you. It builds your tribe. It builds your brand. And it makes you so rich.
Exactly. Because now, since I've clicked on this, that's one more click. And so many other people are outraged they clicked on that. When he goes in to show his distributors that my numbers are up again, a new contract is coming down the pipe.
Look at my Twitter numbers because of all the angry people tweeting at me.
Yeah, it's
all the angry people. Where do they all come from?
Signal boosting. Yeah, I feel terrible when I should be smarter than to get so riled up. I should be smarter. But you know, it's an emotional issue. You know, kids and schools and nutrition and income equity and all these things. And the story I was looking for to talk about, you know, we were talking about concert prices. And we're talking about how much money's in music. And Roger Waters, he missed a $500 million deal. He got his show canceled. Next thing we're talking anti-Semitism and white supremacy in Centralia. I mean, it seems that this divisive, toxic, dangerous element, it can be drawn into every conversation we have.
People have been trained to live in so much fear. And when people feel that they have pulled a raw lot in life, rather than either address the causes and say, you know what, that's unfair, we need to work to make a fairer and more equitable society, or just owning it and dealing with it and shrugging it off and saying, well, you deal with what you've got. These people have. And, you know, the left gets accused of playing to victims. Well, this is every bit of victim mentality.
Oh,
it's
sure.
It's saying, hey,
oh, absolutely.
You know, the factories moved overseas. Immigrants work for less money because they're desperate for the job. I'm going to blame people of color for why I no longer have a good job like my grandfather. Well, guess what, person in middle America? Your grandfather was probably unionized.
Yeah, there you go.
But you have to teach people, you're encouraging them to find a group to blame that builds anger and in some cases spills over into violence. Because if you can blame other people, it takes your accountability and awareness or efforts to change anything off the table, because then you're overpowered. You're helpless. That's why some people don't vote.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about this point you're making, and I can't stop thinking about South Park. You know, Trey Parker, Matt Parker, Trey Stone, right? They're brilliant. They're still 9 and 10 in their minds. They're immature as all get out, but they're brilliant because they make their points through comedic satire. You know, you're talking about someone of color came here, worked for less, took my job. There's a South Park episode. You took my job. And it's a whole room full of South Park's, you know, stop motion animation paper, that South Park style. You took my job. And these guys over and over again. About how people take their jobs. When South Park is echoing you for a comedic point of view, your platform is ridiculous. And they use comedy to show that. It's brilliant. It's the only way to convince somebody that they're wrong is to show them how ridiculously funny their point of view is, to the point of, oh my God, it's comical. Your point of view has become a punchline.
But people double down on wrong now. Like it's almost become a banner of pride.
It's an industry.
You know, it's like that don't tread on me flag, and you've seen the various the snake is basically beating itself in the head. That's what it is.
My favorite's twist on that flag, that don't tread on me. And there's a name for it. I can't forget what it is. Gadsden flag. It's a the snake is in the shape of a uterus. You know, that one I love. That's turning their messaging back on themselves.
I've seen that on flags here in town.
It's beautiful. And I didn't want to get down this topic of division. I want to talk about something we can all agree on. slap fighting is the stupidest sport they ever face. It's taken the mantle from cornhole, from championship for money cornhole, which has a sponsor on the Ocho, you know, ESPN 8, where dodgeball made its money. Slap fighting. These guys get, and there's both women's competition, there's men's competition. There's a national slap fighting league. It's an offshoot of, like, you know, MMA, UFC, right? Those type fightings, those full contact, where the gentleman's rules of boxing don't apply anymore. You can slap, kick, twist, burn, whatever. But now you just stand up and slap somebody as hard as you can. This used to be a comedy bit.
Whoa, wait. This actually is starting to sound very appealing.
You're going
to
love it. It's on TV.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
No. I don't want to watch it. I want to slap somebody. And probably some days be slapped too. I could go both ways.
I could see this coming into, I don't know, contract negotiations, right?
Hey, we have a webcam.
These guys, and they dust their hands with that white powder like weightlifters do, so that you don't tear the skin of your opponent. You just, you know, like when bakers will put flour on a countertop so the dough doesn't stick to the countertop, they powder their hands so their hand doesn't rip or stick to and tear the flesh of their opponent in the professional slap fighting arena. Sanctioned by the Nevada Athletic Commission.
Oh, that explains it.
I mean, it's. I'm telling you, we're going to be feeding people to lions. Cannibal Island is the next season on reality TV. Slap fighting. What happened to head injuries? All the progress the NFL's made on trying to protect people's brains from head injury, and you're slapping people across the side of the face as hard as you can to entertain others?
I would hazard that the internet has done more damage to people's brains than the NFL.
Well, we call that game, set, match for you folks at home. Matt has just won the tournament. We'll be right back. We're going to play 9 to 10, the best of Cairo Middays. We're going to do that until we figure out what the hell's going on around here. In the interim, we'll be
Don't
right.
Don't look at me.
No. We're good. I couldn't do this without you, Matt Butler. We're going to come back. We're going to read some of your texts tonight. You had great input. Anything we want to mention that we kind of missed along the way, and any course corrections you guys have offered us. We'll be right back. It's Cairo Nights. These guys, welcome back to Cairo Nights. Nominated this year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Soundgarden.
You know what, for me, made Soundgarden stand out over a lot of the other bands of their time? Cornell's vocals. The guy is a soul singer, yeah. Practically.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, all the bands of the Seattle grunge era had a uniqueness. Each one of them had something very special. But Cornell's voice, yeah. Chris's voice was once in a lifetime. Innovative band, so innovative. Kim, guitar in this band, was just, oh. And they could peel the paint off the walls. And they had this also in their repertoire, this kind of groove. Yep. Lots of texting tonight. We appreciate that. Benny says, man, how about a little levity here, huh? Come on. How do you make an antidote? How do you make an antidote? Cry on her shoulder. Oh, that's so cute. Dad joke. I needed that. Thanks, Benny. I needed that a lot, man.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah. People come in defense of Ben Shapiro, and I can respect that. I can't agree. He said what he said, and he said what he said to get responses, and I fell for it.
I don't understand. This is what I don't understand. And maybe you can help me with this, because you're way more a people person than I am. Help me understand why people rush to the defense of someone who is so wealthy and with such a large platform. What makes the average person feel that Ben Shapiro needs or cares about their defense? He wants their money. He doesn't care.
Well, you may very well be right. I don't know. You may very well be spot on. I don't know. But it seems to me that he speaks to something that resonates with people. Otherwise, he wouldn't be successful, wouldn't be generating an audience, wouldn't be making the tons of money that he's making. So on some level, there's an experience in someone's life, and Ben Shapiro says something that speaks to their experiences and their beliefs. And, that's their journey. I haven't been in their moccasins. I don't know. So, I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt these days. They make it hard sometimes, but I really do try. Someone said, yes, it was Tupac that was hologrammed. Matt called that too. Thank you for correcting us on that one. Like I said, man, I don't get a lot of stuff right, but I aim to, and I appreciate when you guys can come in and give us input to the show. That makes us all, moving down the track together, moving forward together. It means a lot. Larry says, sounds like baloney to me. That only bus smoked fentanyl has no airborne particles to affect and affect others. Now, they have done studies to say that when people inhale fentanyl and exhale the byproduct, the dangerous elements are stuck in their lungs. It's a sticky drug. The problem is when people smoke fentanyl in public, not all the smoke produced it is going into the lungs of the drug user. There is secondary smoke that escapes. That's what's dangerous. Like I said, there are 16 different Metro drivers who have filed for medical claims for exposure to secondhand drug use on the buses. And we're talking about, light rail security. And I mentioned security forces, and people point out they're just basically glorified mall cops. But that's okay. If a guy with a vest on that says security and a can of mace and a taser, whatever these guys are equipped with, is going to keep a guy from, burning one on the bus or the train, then that's great. That's what it takes. If it's going to keep people from sleeping on the train because it's their only option as a homeless individual, that's what they're going to do. If they're going to keep people from jacking the barrier, the non-existent barrier, and riding for free, that's what they're going to do. With regard to symbolism and free speech, it says, I was a grocery checker at a local store. Man came through my check stand, had an SS tattoo on his neck. Hitler tattooed an image of Hitler on his hand. It broke my heart, made me sick. I couldn't get him out of my check stand fast enough. I'm with you. But that's the hard price to pay for free speech, is you got to let people be people, man. And it's tough. Said Matt, better than anything I've seen. And I can't find it. I apologize. I'm going to paraphrase it. Here it is. Thank you. From a 949 number. Ignorance will expose itself in free speech, but festers in the shadows. And that's got to be a famous quote from somebody, because if you at the 949, if that's your quote, copyright that, because that's brilliant. Ignorance will expose itself in free speech, but fester in the shadows. Yeah, hear, hear. That's why we give people a platform, so we can know them and know who they are and avoid them at all costs, so our life's a little more peaceful, a little better for not being part of their lunacy sometimes, absolute lunacy. Oh, yep. Good point. The guy defending Ben Shapiro still does, and that's fine, man. Defend all you want. We'll never agree on that.
I have to say, though, people saying he didn't say it, it's on video.
Yeah.
He said it, and he didn't deny that he said it either.
No, like I was told and informed today, he was signal boosting. That's okay, man. Somebody asked me if I remember the Imagine a Cure shows at Snoqualmie, a texter pointed out. Yes, I do very much. I was just thinking about him today. The late Alan White, a local, an international rock star, treasure, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, local just gem. We did a few shows at Fraternity Snoqualmie, Snoqualmie Casino. Fraternity Snoqualmie was the nude stock shows. Totally different monster. Imagine a Cure was Alan White bringing together. I got to play over the years, Matt, with Chris Squire of Yes, of all the members of Yes, basically. Elliot Easton of the Cars, Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters, Roger Daltrey of the Who, and so many more that I'm embarrassed that I keep forgetting the names, coming out to raise money for breast cancer awareness. And that was all because of Alan White. I miss him. Defending someone who holds the same views as you is far from worship. I agree. Absolutely agree with you 1,000%. But when you start defending things that are verifiably provable to be false, that's when you got to worry a little bit. It's Kyra Knights. Thank you so much for giving us a part of your evening. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Hope you enjoy the next hour of the Best of Kyra Middays.